Jets. Oh, snap.
Whatever.
Oh, baby. Okay.
Feel the noise. It's time for Ken, Mark, and John to come out of the tunnel and once again form the Sports Authorities right here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Well, once again, we are here. The Sports Authorities are with you.
Yes, we are.
We are with you.
With an awful long little lead on time, you betcha.
You were with us, too.
That's right.
Because if you weren't with us, you couldn't hear us.
That's why we came out of the tunnel just for a while. And I'm glad that you're here with us today.
Out of the tunnel.
That's right. Nice and clean and crisp today. It has that nice linen smell to it.
And somebody changed the light bulbs there, too. It's nice and bright.
Yes. Well, it's nice. I have those fine Philip Hughes, I'll have you know, as if you have one of those Amazon pucks. We're so pleased you're here. And we are pleased that you were here. John Sarver here, along with everybody else here in the Sports Authorities. We are thrilled that you are here at a place where we are not bought and paid for by anybody, and therefore we can tell you sports exactly how it is. We also have incredibly high standards here, in case the words get a little salty around here, well, that's our high standard.
We just chalk it up to the high standards, absolutely.
Right. There you go. We don't follow the FCC here. We do the DMCA thing. So, again, we can say whatever we so damn feel like. Also, there is no team that has us down. Like, if you hear other sports talk shows, are awful. Why? Because they're bought and paid for. I don't care who it is, where it is, whatever. They're always worried about what the advertisers are going to say, what the teams are going to say. Are they going to? We don't give a damn.
We don't kiss up to anybody.
Nobody.
Fail.
That's right. So, we'll tell you exactly like it is, and telling you exactly who like it is. Off to our left is the Super CPA, Ken Pocket. Hi, Ken.
Hi, John, and hello to everyone out there listening.
In TV land, and off to the left, going right to left on your dial, number 4 in your program, but number 1 in your hearts, the old referee himself, the sport director here at CKWI Radio 76, Mark Milicek. Hi, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. How's everybody out there? Hi, you and you and you and you.
Kind of like romper room. And I can see Billy and Bob out there. And what the hell are you doing, Betty? You know? You used to freak people out. It's like, wait a minute, can you really see me? I mean, just it's a random shot that these people could, like, just call out little kids' names. It's like, you know. Anyways, so here we go. If you haven't been with us before, and shame on you for not being here, Mark has written up a whole Encyclopedia Britannica of sports topics that we're going to get to. And so if you hear us calling out numbers, you're kind of like with us because we don't read these things before we go on air. So it's fresh. I mean, there is no this is about as close to scripting as we're going to get today. All right, so as we do at this time every time, Mark Milicek, kick us off, man. What we got?
All right. You guys want to start off with number 1?
No.
No?
No, we don't care about number 1.
Okay, which one do you want to start off
with? Number 2.
Number two. Yeah. Oh, the new Major League Baseball anti-hazing rule.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Major League Baseball you have to have an anti-hazing rule with millionaires?
Isn't that something?
What the hell? Says who?
Says Major League Baseball.
Superman is still okay, but Wonder Woman is now a no-no?
That's right.
This sounds interesting.
Yep, according to Major League Baseball, the new rules states that they can't force rookies like to dress up as women anymore and stuff like that.
Unless they want to.
Why would they even do either? What would be the point?
Well, you know, some teams, you know, they have them dress up as cheerleaders, you know, the rookies and stuff like that, as cheerleaders or whatever. But now I guess the worst thing they can make them do is dress in their uniforms and run over to Starbucks and make them get coffee,
you know,
and
something
stuff like that. No.
Here's a story. Here you got the most macho of macho guys, you know, sports players, guys who are physical specimens beyond belief, clearly not mental specimens beyond belief. Why in God's green earth would you ever do this? I mean, maybe past second grade, and even second grade it's not available. Why would you want to put somebody through some serious shit? You know, for what? Is that a jolly for you? Is it because you had to go through it? You know, what is the point? You're a millionaire. You're all grown adults. Is this fun to humiliate other people? I mean, it's stupid. Yeah. You know, I know they do it in college. I mean, I thought at the NFL tables they stood up, they had the rookies stand up and sing their fight songs for their alma maters. You know, okay, whatever that goes to. But, I mean, to dress them up and do, like, all kinds of weird things, and we do, you know, if you're part of the Dallas Cowboys in the 80s, we overemphasize weird things, you know?
What?
I mean, why would you make somebody else, what jolly do you get out of this deal? Is it supposed to make camaraderie? You know, if it does, then you got a pretty fucked up team.
Absolutely. This is just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you want to see like some guy with a marshmallow in his butt crawl around the floor, is that although funny in theory, you know, is that funny?
I mean, is that really doing something for you? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know, really. I mean, most of you guys have millions of dollars. Go out, you know, and get your sexual jollies however else. You know, but to see this, to humiliate somebody, I mean, how does that... This is a guy on your team. Your team. You know, and somehow, some way, if he's a rookie or something coming into your team, you know, he's going to try to help you out. You know, because clearly, somehow, some way, your team didn't get it done. You need this rookie to come in and help you. So why would you do this? What part? And, you know, evidently, the football, I'm surprised that baseball does this, because football does this all over the damn place. I mean, the most macho of sports, quote unquote, is the most limp of sports. You know, why do you do this? And really, it's just, well, it's because it's, you know, tradition. Find a new tradition.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what they should do is if they wanted to do something crazy like that, why don't you guys just go out to a bar after practice or whatever and, you know, go to a strip joint, whatever. Do something off, away from the team, and go have a good time. You know, you don't have to do it in front of all the teammates and
true
whatever.
That, yeah,
I'd say this one quote here. There's lots of pictures of baseball players dressed up as Disney princesses.
Right.
Seriously?
Yeah, because they, what I was reading is, you know, certain teams have traditions, like Atlanta. Well, maybe I shouldn't be naming the teams, but...
You can do it. Who's going
to
kill you?
I'm saying is, you know, Atlanta used to have them dress up as cheerleaders, and L.A. had them dress up as... characters in Disney or something, whatever, you know. But what I'm saying is they should be doing all that stuff on their own time. Go away from the team.
But why would you do that? You wouldn't do it on your own time. Because here's the story. If the, you know, Kansas City Chiefs, you know, dress up all their guys to look like princesses. princesses or whatever it
Chiefess.
Is. You know, it's Huck. I mean, they make these guys do it. As opposed to what? You're going to get beat up? You're going to hurt this million-dollar rookie? You know, what are you going to do if you say no? You know, it just reminds me of that one guy, and I can't remember off the top of my head. He wouldn't carry the helmet. He was a rookie, and he wouldn't carry a helmet for the established players. And, I mean, he was ostracized from the team and stuff like that. It's because, you know, he was nobody's servant.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there to play a game, here to help it out, and there you go. Now, if the Kansas City Chiefs has 12 of these guys dressed up like princesses and stuff, however, you get the same team and you get 12 cross-dressers up in the stands, let's go beat them guys up,
yeah,
or them women up, let's beat up them Ferris. You know, I mean, dudes.
What if they did that at your place of work? Okay, we got new hires in today.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, there's the dressing room. Put your princess uniforms on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
And then what?
That's going to go over, huh?
I mean, what kind of boner do you
lawsuit
get, you know? Oh, jeez, can you imagine? Oh, yeah, here's your new women hires, you know.
Uh-huh.
Wear this little outfit,
yeah,
you know, because it's tradition.
Yeah.
You know, stop the tradition. You know, it's tradition to, like, hang black guys. Stop that. That stopped,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, like the article said, you know, there's traditions, you know, that some clubs have, you know, sending the rookies out for coffee and,
okay,
you know, having the rookie relievers carry the bullpen bag. Okay.
Yeah, well, but why, though? What kind of stupid traditions can we stop stupid traditions?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, that stuff like that, that's a little nitpicky stuff.
But that's wiener
but,
stuff.
But it's still, you know, something that, you know, everybody's a grown person here.
Yeah, true.
You can't carry your own mitt and, you know,
yeah, I mean, really,
your own stuff? I mean, come on.
How much more of a man do you feel like because that rookie guy's got to carry around your ball bag? You know, I mean, so what? I mean, do you feel like a king or something? You know, what kind of little jollies? You're a millionaire. You're a multi-millionaire, my man. You know, you can hire people to get this done. These are people on your team to help you win. You don't try to humiliate them. That's kind of the most damn dumb thing I've ever heard. And don't do that. Well, it's tradition. Well, you wouldn't understand. We'd understand pretty well. You know, okay, you're in my house. Now you're going to have to, you know, stick your head in the toilet for 30 seconds. Because that's what a tradition is in our house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, goodbye. Yeah, you're going to invite somebody over to your house and say, here's a list of traditions that you have to go through to stay in my house.
That's right. Here's the toothbrush. Go up into the bathroom and clean the grout.
Really?
That's the tradition.
The one,
right. Yeah,
the right. One tradition I saw, and it was kind of, I guess, it's only because nobody here is a millionaire. Ken's closest to it. But it's that they would have, like, they'd go out to dinner, a really expensive joint, and the rookie has to pay for it. And, I mean, these guys are, you know, buying lobsters two at a time and not even eating them, you know, just to stick it to the bill. There you go. Let's make one of our guys poorer. Stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Can you? I mean, most of these things are borderline gay kind of stuff if you want. Yet these guys are the stand-up dudes that will say, what? Are you kidding me? Whoa, or as hetero as you can be. Great. Then you get jollies out of watching somebody dressed like a princess. Why for? You know?
Yeah.
My God. If that's your sense of humor, what do you do outside? You know, oh, I guess we shouldn't even care. But we, you know, you're still a human being. Just because you're a sport dude doesn't make you, like, higher and above. You know, actually, it makes you kind of lower because, really, as a shortstop who hits 221 for 6 years bouncing around, if you lived or died, nobody would care, you know? If somebody cures cancer, you got something going on here. But that guy's making, you know, $30,000 a year while this, you know, shortstop who can't hit 224 is making, like, 1.8, 1.9, you know, minimalistically. You know, so come on, sport people. I mean, it's cool. Everybody in the boat, you know? You're no bigger or better than anybody else. The reason why you get paid so much. Did you see the thing in the paper today, how much money for your cable bill goes to sports?
A lot.
Yeah, no kidding. Like $18, $19 off the first top. I mean, in the 80s, it was $7 and like 30-some cents. Now it's 18 bucks because they said that what screwed it all up was when Fox was just becoming a network. You know, they wanted to buy the NFL rights because they figured that that would give them, you know, legitimacy. And at the time, it certainly did. The news department, it's a different story. you call that news.
Who cares? Who cares what's going on in the news?
But what happened was that CBS was coming in like say 2 million, 2.5 million, or no, two. My mistake. Like 230 million. And Fox said, great, we'll give you 100 million more on top of that. And so ever since then, everybody was like, woo, let's, you know, it's a bidding war to go up and up and up and up and up. Now, here comes the next round. I mean, and then that way you can give, you know, a wideout that plays twice, you know, $750,000 or whatever. Because really, if it wasn't for the media money, you know, for these broadcast rights contracts, NFL would be like where? Zero land. Nowhere. I mean, that's how they get that one. Baseball does, because baseball had like, what, 40 million viewers for the last game for the Cubs for the World Series? That's some honcho, man. That's definitely telling the advertisers we can deliver.
Yep.
You know? However, people are sick of doing this stuff. You know, ESPN is bleeding money, you know, because what is ESPN anymore but now just a news thing? I mean, because I'm trying to think, what does ESPN do live anymore? Rodeo?
College football?
Yeah.
I think it's about it, yeah.
I think maybe some college basketball, maybe.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think, back in the day, ESPN was all over the map.
ESPN used to have
Monday Night
hockey.
Football now, too.
And yeah, Monday Night Football. But they used to, ESPN used to show hockey.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a lot of weirdo sports. I mean, not weird sports, but like the...
weightlifting.
Yeah, or
rugby.
Yeah, right.
Strongest man competition, yeah. Stuff like that.
Rodeo after rodeo after rodeo. You know, that was bronc riding and all that stuff. I mean, they were really trying to make it the ABC Wide World of Sports on steroids, 24/7. You know, any kind of sport there is, we're out. We're going to do it. We're going to take it. And that's where they kind of hedged their bet with the E for entertainment, just in case they had to fall back and do a couple Springsteen concerts or something. I mean, this was really going to be the juggernaut. I mean, if you could do, like concerts and you can do, I don't know, plays, whatever, you're trying to do the live play and stuff, whatever is in the entertainment world, coupled with whatever in the sports world, man, you had boomers and millennials right there. And for some god reason, because they're hemorrhaging or whatever, in my opinion, you know, I mean, you're back to doing college football, which is relatively cheap. You know, not cheap. You know, it's not like one of the four majors, but it's relatively cheap. And now I think what we have to do, and I forgot to do it today, to see what now the NFL ratings are like. You know, because they were disastrous in the beginning part of the season, and they kind of are. I mean, the first two games everybody digs it, and then it's like whatever little crazy stuff goes on. I mean, we don't even hear about the taking the knee stuff anymore, do we? You know, that's
the last time I checked in the ratings, they said that we're getting a little bit better.
A little bit?
You know, what is your definition of
a little bit? I mean, yeah, as opposed to you should be killing right now.
Yeah.
You're only a game in town. Are people fed up, Ken, with the NFL?
Well, I think what we've seen with the NFL is an oversaturation. You know, it used to be you'd have a slate of games on Sunday, then you had Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football was an event. Now you have Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. Every time you turn around, there's another game on. And it gets to the point where people say, it's no big deal. It's just NFL.
Yeah, I think you get bored with it because you're right. It was the Monday Night Football was such a big deal. And I think we talked about this too. The Monday Night Football was something to look forward to. You know, and especially it was on one of the three majors. You know, wow. And especially because it's on ABC, because I think that's the only game ABC did.
Yeah,
for
it was.
Because ABC used to be college football as far as you could throw it, you know, with Keith Jackson. By golly.
Yep.
You know, is there any more? I don't know if there's any college football announcer more identified, you know, than the late, great Keith Jackson.
Right.
He had the great voice. I mean, they tried to make him do NASCAR and stuff like that, and it was awful. I mean, he was good. He was okay and stuff. But Keith Jackson, you know, whoa, Nelly, by golly.
He definitely had the football down.
I can't think of anybody now that does college football that, you know, that would be the vitale of college football.
Brett Musburger does it.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he does the on ABC with Kirk Herbstreit.
You are looking at the big house here in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, he always does all the, quote, big games.
Really?
Yeah. He did the Michigan-Ohio State game.
I always like it because he's so entrenched with it. You are looking at the horseshoe here at Columbus. You know, we're always looking at something. It's like, dude, we're looking at the TV screen. We get what we're seeing. We understand. Don't come in with that tired old rap all the time. Get him on the phone. Get the intern to get him on the phone. Tell him. Dude, it's go back to wearing women's clothing, even though that was way too easy of a deal.
Yeah, get Brett on the phone.
Yeah, get Brett. I mean, he'll talk to us. You know?
Yeah, he knows us really well.
Hell yeah, he does. He's worried. We're coming up as the fastest growing sports talk show anywhere, worldwide.
And we don't wear princess dresses.
Outfits, yeah, no. Yeah. But Brett was wearing it outside of the gig.
Yeah, see, Brett's worried because we tell it like it is, and all the rest of the guys just cover everything up and say it like Brett wants them to say it.
Yeah, like ESPN does, too. I mean, as much as they're trying to be killer with ESPN, in my humble estimation, ESPN is just like it's a blab sheet of whoever wants what, Nobody's talking, deep over there. They're just like, whatever. And then they get, these lame-brain ex-jocks to try to do, like that. You can tell who went through concussion protocol way too many times. And it's not a stereotypical one because there are some that are really good. But that one dude that doesn't wear the tie and the, open shirt and he tries to be the cool guy, oh, my God, you got about 14 seconds of my time and it's Laverne and Shirley. Bye. Anyways, that's our ESPN rant and all this stuff. And the funny thing is, as much as we were talking about hazing and stuff like that, ESPN had a terrible reputation for hazing, I mean, for the women that worked there and all that stuff, awful.
Yeah, hazing scandals and...
Who was the other one that was supposed to be the other ESPN that they were supposed to make it all sport? Because I know that NBC has theirs, their sport channel. They try to do
24. NBCSN.
Is that going anywhere?
They show a lot of good stuff.
They show hockey.
They show hockey. They show British Premier Soccer. Soccer.
Soccer and hockey.
They show rugby.
Soccer, rugby, hockey.
Kay. I like it.
Rodeo.
Yeah, really. Another rodeo. Another Red Bull kind of thing.
No, I don't remember seeing rodeo on there. But.
Who's got X Games now? ABC?
ABC and ABC and ESPN.
Well, they're the same company.
Yeah. ESPN's got big-time X Games.
Are they going anywhere? Did that kind of fall through? I mean, really, the X Games were going to be the games of the 90s, because they were, so cool and all that stuff. And then it was seen this already. How many more things can you... I mean, it was cool because they had everything out of the norm. There wasn't no biathlon. There wasn't any, diving.
Yeah, how many 720 half pikes can you do?
Yeah, true that, But, I mean, they had some interesting stuff when they were doing, those dirt bikes. I mean, here's grown men on these little teeny, bikes that my nephew wouldn't be on, So what the Haiti... and somehow, some way, that was supposed to bring in all the people. And Detroit cried, man, when they missed it. Because they were supposed to have it downtown and things like that. And somehow that place in Texas, Austin, got it for 4 or 5 years or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who's next? Talking about who's next. Who's next? Where do you feel like going? Feel like going to see where the wings are?
Free.
Hello.
Or do you want to? No. Or do you want to go to the NFL that is now expanding London games to 4 games a year?
Let's go back to the wings.
Okay.
Because we're there.
Okay.
The only reason why we're going for the wings is because we're taking a look to see where that Babcock team was.
Loser.
Oh, the Maple Leafs. They're 3 points. They're 3 points behind the Red Wings.
Did you say behind?
Behind.
Behind?
That's what I'm telling you.
As in,
in the cellar?
Nope, not in the cellar.
Who's in the cellar?
As in, they can kiss my behind?
Buffalo.
Whoa.
Buffalo's in the cellar. Detroit's in sixth place, Toronto's in seventh, and Buffalo's in eighth.
That's because Buffalo is doing the same thing the Red Wings were doing.
They're actually bad.
Oh, they're actually bad. Okay.
They don't have that thing that the Wings have.
Yeah, see, the Red Wings?
Red Wings have
12 and 4 with 30 points. Sixth place, 12 points behind Montreal. And Toronto's got 27 points and 15 points.
See, I'm telling you, the plan is working. Brilliantly done by Blashill and Holland. You know, they come off as boobs. They come off as people you just want to strangle. And they come off with people that you just want to hit in the head with a, one of those baseball bats with barbed wire around it. But they're actually really smart.
Well, maybe Blashill could say that, but not Holland. I mean, he's...
I don't know. He was in the CAC Hall of Fame, but now that he explained it to the true Red Wing fans, what their plan is doing, it's brilliant. They're really... It's the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. They're going to look like they're bad.
Just the second part of that. Dope.
There you go. But it's good dope, because see them this way... All the teams are going to feel sorry for the Wings. They back down a couple degrees, and look what happens. Bam, bam, bam. And now, the cool thing is, as we're going into closer to the holidays, is that they're instructing the Wings not to score. Try not to get goals right now. Just try to win 1-0. You know, try to make it go to the third period if you can, but don't score one goal. Try to shoot at the net. Try to miss. Try to come close if you have to, but don't put it in the goal.
Well, they must be doing, they're doing a good job of that, because Friday they scored only one goal, and Sunday they scored zero.
I'm telling you.
Working to perfection, isn't it?
It's going well. Boy, these guys really practice hard.
The other thing, too, is, you know, now when the Red Wings come to town, the opposing team looks at it and goes, well, we're not going to get up for this game.
That's true.
This isn't a big game for us. These guys are lousy.
See, Kenny and I were in the same meeting when they told all the Red Wing fans what they're doing right now.
As opposed to the Lions. Lions screwed up. They're 9-4. Now a team plays the Lions. They look at them on their schedule and go, well, we better make sure we show up for this game.
Yeah. Yike. I mean, really, Lions.
Oh, my God.
I have never, ever, ever, and we'll do this to the very last game of the season. I have never seen a division lay down like the NFC Central. Holy God. We don't want it. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you. Okay.
It's like a brothel.
This should be good.
Well, you know, a couple of you.
Wait. Why is it like a brothel?
They're all laying down.
Oh. A couple years ago, you had a team in the 500 make the playoffs. They won their division. I think it was Carolina, wasn't it? I mean, so this has happened before. But here's the thing. I look at the Lions.
It's legal in Vegas.
Look at the Lions. Okay, they're 9-4, and everyone's all excited, right? I look at this and I say, this team could very easily finish 9-7 and miss the playoffs.
I'm hoping.
You're going on the road. You're going to play the Giants. The Giants just beat Dallas. They're looking at the Lions and saying, "We got to beat these guys because we got
to." Giants have to beat the Lions, don't they?
Yeah. Then you go into Dallas, and Dallas has got to burr up its saddle now because it lost to the Giants, and it's going to need that game now.
Both the teams coming into need the games, as opposed to like last year and stuff. Whenever the Lions have like the last four games, it's against a crumbling KC team, a crumbling Atlanta team. You know, teams that are nowhere, Buffalo, teams that nowhere is going to happen. So they just give it up, and then all of a sudden, the Lions go on this four-game winning streak, and they don't fire anybody the next season because we got it now,
And now you're looking at the last game, the last game of the season, where it's going to be all, all the marbles are on the table. They're playing the Packers. Last game of the season for the division title. You're playing the Packers. We've seen this before.
Packers at home?
Yeah, playing Packers at home. And we've seen this before where you play the Packers at the end and they crush your soul.
Yeah, but different Packers this year.
They've been playing better lately.
Yes, they have.
Although I looked at their schedule and, frankly...
It's kind of bouncy.
Well, yeah. The thing is, they beat Philly on the road. But Philly's lost 8 of their last 10. So Philly's messed up. Then they come home and they beat Houston, who's no great shakes, and they beat Seattle. Now, those two teams are under 500 on the road. So, again, they're not terribly impressive wins. Now you're going to go to Chicago. Well, let's see what happens there. I mean, Chicago played Detroit tough last week. So they could lose there, but probably will beat the Bears.
Probably, yeah. I think they got a little bit more firepower. They got better coaching.
Yeah.
And then
they play the Vikings at home.
Bye. Easy win.
Yep. And then they come here. So I look at this thing going down to that last game, and I can't see how any Lions fan could be comfortable with playing the Packers in the last game of the season for all the marbles. There is no team that has done more damage to Lions fans than the Packers.
I wonder if you can throw with four fingers, you know. I mean, that's the whole thing that's supposed to be with the Detroit quarterback.
Talk to Derek Carr. He's got something wrong with his finger, too, and he looked horrible against Kansas City on Thursday.
You know, did you see how the Texans are, like, beyond, like, number one right now? How the hell did that happen? You know, Texas, I mean, they're kicking and taking names. And I would never have thought that. Ever have thought that. Not this way.
That division stinks, too.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's another KC. I mean, as much as everybody thought that KC was going to run away, I mean, here comes the Chiefs this year. This is going to be the year. Okay. And you've done what? Okay. You know, not a whole heck of a lot. But if you're right. If you're a Lions fan right now, you never feel comfortable. You don't feel comfortable with all these miracle wins. You know, but the thing is, if you squeak in there, because really, Green Bay is on a breath and a prayer right now. They got to reload next year. I mean, huge reload. Huge reload.
And Aaron Rodgers is hurt, too.
Yeah. So he's got to get the calf.
Yeah, he's got a calf issue, and they said he wasn't. He's limited at practice this week.
And that's it. So, I mean, if you got a calf you can't push off on.
Yeah.
You know, you're done. But again, what a graceful way to, you know, say, okay. Because really, there was not much that he was doing this year that was impressive.
No.
Last year either, you know, and you're kind of going, okay. And a results, you know, based sport, or any sport is actually, but industry, you know, dear Mr. Rogers, you know.
Where's your sweater?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers, it's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood, is it?
Who is your backup? You know, I mean, if it's anybody, it's a ninth round from Old Dominion. You know, because they don't want to ever go up close to the quarterback, to the, you know, the immortal Rodgers, you know, because they can't, you know, insult him in Green Bay.
Well, it's like the Lions with Dan Orlovsky as the backup. You know, you can't have a good backup. You don't want to worry your starting quarterback, so you hire some bum.
You know, and the cool thing is that the bum comes in for two sets and, like, marches them down the field. And everybody goes, why haven't we played him before? You know? Okay. You know? Good news. So we got any Verlander stories, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see anything going on with Verlander.
Well, you're not going to see anything going on with Detroit.
Well, they I do have something here about the...
I know you do, and I was leading you into it.
Yeah.
That's second down.
There was a rumor going on that the Tigers sort of were interested in Andrew McCutchen.
Sort of? But, is or isn't?
Yeah, but the thing about it is Andrew McCutchen is going to cost a lot of money. And, of course, Mr. Avila, who is now a permanent member of the CAC Society.
Oh, he's definitely looking up the charts because of that, yes.
By doing hardly anything, you know.
Said that, you know, the Tigers are going to try to shed salary. But maybe he should trade Verlander to Pittsburgh and get Andrew McCutchen.
What's the chances that you could pull that? Now, I mean, Andrew McCutchen is basically the Pirates. You know, I mean.
And he had a terrible year.
Yeah, you'll have one, you know. But
and defensively, he's declined a lot, too.
Okay.
I mean, he isn't what he was.
But if we get him a different center field, a huge center field, and we get him a different haircut, you know, winner? I say winner. Give him a new look, you know. Get him Spartan. Get him that Detroit look. Make a Detroit.
But would his contract be less than what Verlander's contract is going back?
No, hell no.
Then it wouldn't be cost effective.
Well, we'll give you salty in the deal. We'll give you a battery. You know? Here you go. They know each other. He calls a good game. There you are. Goodbye now. Bye bye.
Well, if there's a way that they can package somebody else with Verlander, get McCutchen and maybe
prospect
or something.
Prospect.
Upton. Give him Upton.
Give them both Upton.
That's what I'm saying. If they can get rid of two guys.
And give him Sanchez, too.
Give him the fat
Pelfrey.
Chick.
Pelfrey. Well, no, but what I'm saying is if they can
Brad Penny with them.
If they can work something out that they can get rid of more salary than they're getting back.
Yeah, but you got to get some kind of talent, too. It just can't be a salary dump.
No, but what I'm saying is maybe Pittsburgh has got some talent on that team.
But maybe Pittsburgh isn't going to look to pick up dead salary.
Hell no.
No, and that's the problem the Tigers have. There is no team out there, and this is the shock value to Avila, is that he can't believe that there are no teams out there that are looking to take on dead salary. Where are these teams that are looking for these dead contracts?
Yeah.
They're not out there. Oh, my God, now what? Well, maybe we'll just stand pat.
Did you see that?
Maybe you don't have much choice.
Well, that's what he was saying. He goes, so now he's like, October, November, he was like, we got to get rid of these contracts. We got to get rid of all these, we got to like really slim down to now nothing. And it's like, he comes in with, first of all, he tells, like we said before, he puts all of his cards on the table.
Yes.
Dealing with humans as to deal them is an art, not a Trumpy thing. It's an art, So you're talking about not livestock, not commodities, humans, and you're talking big money, People will step over humans' lives. They don't care. How much money are we talking about? You notice that's what they don't give a damn about the human being. It's like, how much is your contract? Oh, I got to go. Why? Is he a good guy? Yeah. Is he friends of yours? Yeah. Is he good in the community? Yeah. Well, then why is he going? Well, because we signed him for too much. Dumbass, and you go. I can't imagine going to work one day and they go, oh, by the way, you're going to be in Cleveland now. What? You take everything up and go. However, if you're giving me $140 million, that will soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
But the whole backstory about Crinkly Dick is that he bought that house in Beverly Hills, $5.5 million, which for him is no big deal, But, it's from my understanding, it's got two kitchens in it. One for normal human beings and one for the fat pig that he's, marrying or whatever he's doing with her, using her and throwing her out. So what's going on?
Does it have a bidet, too?
Only cool people with high standards. We'll have you, it's because we'll have you in the King's Throne here at CKWI Radio 76. There's a bidet, bidet, mate, So we're always clean with high standards. Not like, 97.1 where they have to use toilet paper. We're clean, fresh like a daisy in this joint. Women, too. It's got that little woman thingy, too, man. Ah. So you can't talk sports unless you're clean.
That means we talk clean sports.
That's right. It's like we're not full of shit like 97.1,
Allegedly.
Allegedly, in our opinion or whatever we're supposed to say, yeah.
Well,
so where's Verlander going? So Verlander, I think, hedged all bets to go to L.A. Because really, who else can take him? California can't take him.
Yep.
Or Anaheim or whatever you want to call yourself. Can you go back to being California Angels? It was so much cooler,
Well, it's just Kenley Jensen just signed $84 million for...
Back to the Dodgers, right.
They're
talking to the third baseman, too, Turner. Yeah, they're going to bring him back, too.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. As you keep going on here, Dodgers have less and less money to spend.
Well, they don't have any money to spend. Yeah. How are they doing this now? Because wasn't that big thing that you were talking about last week, about that the commissioner said, cut that payroll?
Yeah. And they signed Hill, too, again.
Right.
Signed him back in. So
$48
million. Yeah.
So that's $48 million. And Turner's contract is supposed to be close to... 60.
Yeah.
So there's 100 mil right there, and then how much?
And then Jensen's contract was 84.
But now they're looking to dump guys like Scott Kazmir. But again, it's the same thing. Yeah, you're looking to dump him. If you're trying to dump him, there are no dumpies out there looking for dead contracts. Sorry, guys.
It's almost going to come down to because... As much as the $140 million is an arbitrage, and it really is. And don't say the thing about DD, because you know who signed that. The Cackmaster himself, flip your wig, Illich, in our opinion, made that thing go. I don't understand this guy. I really wish I was a waiter at one of his restaurants or restaurants that he went to, because, man, he must tip like no tomorrow. You know, holy crap. If you're going to give, you know, these $200 million, $140 million contracts, in 1 year it's going to be commonplace. You know, more commonplace than it is right now. So you're going to be doing like what kind of what Kenny was saying. You're going to be trying to trade out guys with 140 million contracts for a 146 million contract and eat the 6 million. But by that time, if you've got to the place, especially in Major League Baseball, where you're making 140 million, you're old. I mean, you're old and going to get older, and there you go. Nothing bad about being old, but in the sports profession, it's a little dangerous. You know, so how are you going to do – so now $140 million contracts are going to be nothing. The Prince Fielder, you know, $200 million contract is going to be nothing. You know, what was that originally for, though? 10 years?
Nine years.
Okay. So, I mean, at 21 mil for a guy could only hit home runs, could not run.
Couldn't field.
You know? No. And so now you're coming back with a Tiger team with its tail between its legs, if you want to – I always hated that analogy. But, you know, it's that you have all the same players – and you pissed them all off because you told them all fall long, you're going to be gone. If you make money, you're good, but you got to go. You know. So wait a minute. What kind of stuff is that? You signed the contract. You know. You thought that it was good enough to be $140 million for years on years on end, and now you guys can't swallow that? What kind of business? We can even go back to the CPA point of view. What kind of business says, we'll give you the money up front, we'll figure out how we're going to make the money later?
Nuts. It is. That's kind of the model a lot of the teams have been following, okay? And then start dishing out the bucks, and then later on, oops, well, sorry, we can't spend anymore. But the thing with the Tigers is it's so herky-jerky. They overreact to things. When they signed Fielder, it was a reaction to Victor Martinez hurting his knee the first of many, many
Absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely, you bet.
And, you know, when they signed Upton, it was like, well, we're not spending any more money. That's it. We're going to platoon Ghosts and Avilas and left. And, you know, it says, we're going to win like that? Well, no, we're not exactly going to win like that. Ah! Sign somebody.
Quickly. Whatever they want. You just give them the blank contract and the pen.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I get it. I'll know. Call up Boris. He always knows what to do.
He's got inventory on the shelf. See what he's got there.
Speaking of,
yeah, he does. Of course, that's like
somebody
has this big closet. Who? There we go. Somebody from Chicago.
Dexter Fowler signed a 4-year contract with the
Cardinals. Yes,
80-some million dollars.
Yep.
But the Tigers could have got him for $9 million.
Yeah,
could have got him
instead of Upton.
Yeah.
What do you think Fowler's going to do in St. Louis?
Probably nothing now. He got his money.
He will probably...
go on injured reserve for 3.5 years.
He'll probably go back to his normal statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a very good year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably go back to what he was, which was a 260 hitter with a little bit of power and a little
probably
bit of speed.
15 home runs, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I just said? Take a look at the White Sox. I mean, they dealt everybody. You know, anybody that's worth anybody.
Yeah, Eaton's
getting
gone now.
Who?
Eaton.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to the Nationals.
So who do you think, or I should go backward, how do you think Chicago White Sox are going to do this year? How do you think the Southside's going to do? 3-4 years of nothing?
They're going to, probably two, maybe 3 years of not very good baseball. But, boy, when these guys are bringing in,
if
and they should. You know, they're going to be pretty damn good.
Chapman signed, too.
Yeah, Yankees.
Went back to the Yankees. $90 million.
Talk about...
For a closer.
Did Steinbrenner come out of the grave?
No.
I mean,
the reason why the Yankees had to up the money is because the Marlins wanted them.
Yeah.
Like the Marlins, well, you'd want to go to the Marlins. I don't care. Give me $140 million. I'm not
the
going
Marlins
to Marlins.
The Marlins offered them 80-some million, so the Yankees had to up the offer to get them...
Who, but though, I don't know. Take a look. As much as I just said that, I'm thinking, you know, you got no pressure. You ain't got no. You got no pressure going to the Marlins. None. You're going to the world's biggest market, you know, as a closer.
Well, he came from the biggest market.
Yeah, but still, the reason why he got shuffled off was what? It wasn't because he didn't like the weather.
Well, he got suspended for his
shooting
the gun in the garage
thing.
Yeah, and you kind of figure there's probably more things back there, in my opinion. You know, and you just don't go, oh, a guy shot the gun in his garage. Ship him.
That's a one-off.
Yeah,
you know?
Really. Yeah.
Never happened again.
Everybody always does. Yeah. We've done it, you know. Yeah. Especially with the gas cans right here in the subdivision.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody shoot their guns off in the garage?
I thought that's how you learned.
Yeah.
You know, you'll shoot your eye out. Well, that's where it began. You know, he didn't have a garage. So now that you have a garage, you want to shoot your eye out or hit the bumpus of dogs. You're okay. You know? That's all I was trying to do. That was a big party.
Woo! Yeah, see, he wanted to get signed, so he'll have a reason at New Year's to shoot the gun off.
Here you go. Got it.
Nice going. Well done. You know, okay, but now, where does that put New York? I mean, that's got to put New York over the edge. Well, I don't know. New York's got a lot of wiggle room.
New York probably needed to sign somebody since Boston's got all that.
God,
all those
bless.
Pictures and stuff.
You know, really, if you're Toronto, do you sit back and you watch New York and Boston kind of like outbid everybody so they go way into the luxury cap and then you make your move? Or are you going to do another one of those? We were so close this year.
Because Toronto still has Encarnacion and Bautista sitting there.
Mm.
Yeah, nobody's really chasing them down.
No.
Because Bautista wants a multi-year contract, and he's 30.
Good luck.
36, I think, isn't he?
36, and he says he wants a 5-year contract, so that puts him over 40.
No chance. Yeah.
And Encarnacion's 31?
More than that.
32, somewhere in the low 30s. Yeah. But he wants.
Bautista, I mean, he showed some age last year.
Right. He's getting a little bit slower with the bat because he can't hit that 97 mile an hour fastball
and injuries
anymore. Right. So Encarnacion is probably a good DH. I mean, he can still play field. He can play first base, but I think he wants way too much money. I think he wants like 20, 25 million, 30 million a year. He wants an outrageous amount of money. So that's why he's still sitting there.
He had a great year.
Oh yeah.
So he wants
the great money to go with the great year. Yeah.
Do you know who on the Detroit team has a contract year this year?
JD?
Yeah, I was going to say Martinez and who else?
Pelfrey.
Well, God. Next.
On the ball?
We can all drive down there and we can drive them out.
Well, the thing is, it's always in baseball. I've never seen it in any other sport but baseball. This is your contract year. You have a phenomenal year.
Yes.
You reach down and my God. You know, you're like a 220 hitter for all your career, all 7 years. Your contract year, you hit 289. You know, why sign him?
Well, it was the milkshakes. Yeah.
That's what it was.
The milkshakes, yes.
Yeah, because you kind of, those are the most exciting guys to see because they're actually playing for something.
Yeah.
The ones that you don't want to see are the guys that are on their first year of their $140 million contract.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, because I would love to see what the matrix is on that, on people with the first year contracts blowing. What are you crossing out?
The ones that we've done already.
Oh, okay, good idea. Alrighty, so much for the Tigers, and so much for, you know what I just happened to think? Kansas City isn't making any noise whatsoever, are they?
No, not at all.
Smart move.
They traded Wade Davis.
Wade Davis to Chicago.
For Jorge Soler.
Which Chicago?
Cubs. They just got better. Now they got two closers.
You get rid of one. That was shaky, and I think Ken's right. You know, send him back to New York because he wasn't all that, you know.
But Chicago already had a closer before they got Chapman.
Yeah.
They had, I can't remember.
Him.
Like Rodon or
Rondon.
How many Rondons are there?
Yeah, they had Rondon and now they got
Wade Davis.
Don't we have one of those? I thought we had one of those.
Now they have two closers now. So now you're talking.
Yeah, but you use one as a chip.
That's what I'm thinking they might be doing.
But if you got two badass closers, what do the Cubs need anymore?
Nothing.
I mean, even with the guys that left, you know, did they fill in the spots?
They haven't filled Dexter Fowler's spot yet.
No.
But they might have somebody coming up on the minors that might take that.
Right. Well, again, you know, Kyle Schwarber was injured. last year. And
he can play outfield.
Exactly.
He can play outfield.
So they're probably
planning on
sliding him into left field.
Right, and then move the left fielder to center.
Yeah. Wait. Hayward's probably going to play center.
Or the right fielder goes to center or whatever, yeah. Even though Hayward
can't hit, but he's a very good defensive player.
Right.
All right, so now you have a team that is a World Series champion that's lost some key people.
But it really hasn't lost nothing.
Right.
But filled them right back in. Right. How much of a salary hit did they take?
Well, they lost Chapman, but that they didn't lose any salary.
Right.
Wade Davis wasn't making a whole lot of money, so they're not paying a whole lot for him.
So if the Cubs lost key people, signed new people, which are just as good as, if not better, did not increase payroll crazy.
Not that much. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Then how does Epstein not get, Theo doesn't get another GM of the war? Because really, as soon as you win the World Series, if you're the free agent of that team, gone. You know, add another $40 million to your contract wherever you go, and then you go sign with San Diego. You know,
or Detroit.
Yeah,
see,
you just
see the thing about it is Wade Davis. They could Kansas City can afford to trade Wade Davis because they can always put Kelvin Herrera back as a closer.
But take a look at your American League Central now. I mean, you have the Tigers going absolutely nowhere but down. And they will be going down for about 2-3 years. You got Chicago that we know is going to be down for 2-3 years. Uh-huh. You got Cleveland that is doing
nothing.
This is your flair. I mean, this Cleveland now is the Detroit Lions of the American League Central. Nobody else wants to win. So you win by default. You know, because really, Kansas City is laying in wait. I think Kansas City is like, they don't make any noises, they don't get any names. You know, okay, so Cleveland is the pretty boy of Central. I mean, who am I leaving out?
Minnesota.
Yeah, reason why. Yeah. All right, so you got three. You got one team going on the way down, Tigers. You got Chicago and Minnesota who are down, and they'll be down for another couple of years. So you really got Kansas City and Cleveland. Cleveland kind of has – Cleveland was lucky last year. Lucky, you know. But, you know, you could be like the Tigers were in the mid-2000s. Nobody wants to win in the division. Nobody's equipped to win the division. It is the least – I'm trying to think in baseball. Are they – in the American League, is the Central the least productive, competitive?
Actually, I think they were better than the West last year.
But then you had Texas.
Texas.
And Seattle.
And Houston.
Yeah. But then you had Milwaukee.
Yeah. No. Milwaukee. National League.
Oh, wait. Oh, Milwaukee's. Yeah.
Angels.
I liked it better when Milwaukee was an AL team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because.
And Oakland. Oakland was lousy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Angels were lousy, too.
Yeah. So, you're about even, I think.
Yeah.
Because Seattle had a pretty good season.
Who?
Seattle had a pretty good season.
Yeah, well, Seattle did, and who else?
Houston was so-so.
Yeah.
Houston will bounce back. Houston had a funky year last year. That's all there is to it, you know.
Their pitching went south.
Yeah, and quickly, too, because that was supposed to be their year. I mean, all the trajectories and everything said Houston goes to the World Series and wins, you know. So you got Angels. Angels are a strange team. They're really made up weirdly. You know, I mean, that's one strange GM you got, because you would think on a team that you build it around Trout, and you build it now, you know.
Would you trade Verlander for Trout?
Yes.
Of course.
Heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, take your fat chick girlfriend with you.
And what else can we throw in?
That fat chick.
Humphrey. Sanchez.
Send those boobs over there. Here, we're sending you three boobs and a crinkly dick. There you go.
Boy, that would really...
God, what?
Show her up our center field.
Wouldn't you, for years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do that? Oh, my God, I would give you Cabrera. Give me Trout. I'll give you Cabrera and Crinkly Dick and the fat chick girlfriend. Goodbye. See you later, alligator. Talk about win-win-win situation. Get him on the phone. Get him on the blower. Because, really, you're shedding your two biggest contracts, you know, and you're getting rid of a logjam. Huge logjam. Because really, if you get rid of Cabrera's contract and Crinkly Dick, think about how much money you're under the cap now. Now you can wheel and deal.
Yeah, because you just got rid of over $50 million.
Yeah, no kidding.
A year.
Yeah.
27 and 20, that's $55 million.
Absolutely.
Or close
so
to it, give or take.
You can go to Colorado and sign some 221 hitter for $50 million, you know, because you know that's what Flip Your Lid is going to do. And I just totally screw it
and
up.
And then put you right back over the salary cap.
Right. Well, they had Boris called. What can I do?
Yeah, people on the shelf.
Hey, I heard you just made a trade. I got somebody for you.
Yeah, boy, I can backfill that with a 221 utility player, you know. I can make Romney look good. Oh, man, look good. You know, it was just like the stupid Red Wings did the same damn thing. But now we understand the whole plan that's going on with Holland. You know, he got rid of that one contract that was going to kill him. You know, absolutely. But when Dasuk left, you know, my God. You know, that was if there was some way to get rid of that contract, the Wings would have been really screwed this year. But the good thing is they got rid of that contract. And then they signed a bunch of idiots for an incredible amount of money that put them back almost on the brink. But that's genius.
But they're great idiots.
They're what?
They're great idiots.
They are.
I mean, they're just, that's why things are working out so well.
There you go.
And by the way, the Red Wings are playing the team that they traded them all to.
Yep.
And by the way, the Maple Leafs traded one of their guys to the Arizona team.
Wait a minute. The thing bounced out. There we go.
And they got rid of a $1.3 million contract last week.
Who'd they trade?
They traded Peter Holland. So now they got $1.3 million more salary
to
cap.
To sign who? Larkin?
What's that?
To sign Larkin? To make that blockbuster trade?
No, they traded Holland, so they got more cap space.
I don't know if Babcock likes Larkin, you know, but right about now, you know, this is where we're trying to make everybody jump. Now we're trying to see what other teams will give for, like, Larkin. Yeah. Or
Babcock likes his team.
Good, like him in the cellar, man.
And he might be the only one that does.
That's right, baby, 2 years in a row.
No.
No, that's right. You like them, too.
That's right. There's at least two of us.
Did you see the shrine upstairs?
The shrine? No, I didn't see it yet.
Amazing. It really is.
The Maple Leaf Shrine.
And, oh, boy.
And by the way, the Maple Leafs are up 1-0 on San Jose.
So that means they lose 3-1. Next. San Jose?
Yep.
Playing now?
Yep. Red Wings should be playing.
Egad. Hey, talk about playing. Ken Pocket, Super CPA, what did we not cover in 1 minute?
We didn't talk about the Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson, because when he won the Heisman Trophy, of course, what do you do to celebrate winning the Heisman Trophy? You go out and party with Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. It's like, Lamar, somebody needs to get a hold of you and shake you. Dude, do you know what you're doing? Do you know who you're with? Stop! This can't end well.
Okay, Mark Milchek, sport director here at CKIWI Radio 76. What did we not cover in 1 minute?
Well, the NBA is going to do an experimental run in the D-League by adding one or two officials to every game.
So they're going to have six and five officials?
They're going to start with four, and then they're going to add one more to make it five.
Will they be dressed as Disney princesses?
No. They said that with three officials, the game is too fast. And officials,
it is too fast. Slow it down, guys. It's too exciting.
The officials are missing calls. So,
and that's the end of the fourth quarter. Well, we are so glad that you are here today with us. Egad, we're a little bit over, but that's okay. Sorry to say that. So, for everybody here from the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and the Sport Director, Mark Milichek, and myself, John Sarver, we hope to see you once again here with the Sports Authority's Men Can Be Pigs, but they love talking about sports, and we are here for you.
Yes, we do.
So, we will see you next Tuesday at 7 p.m., or you can go to the podcast page, which is where you're probably at right now. Just put in and Bean Pod. Just type in CKIW there in the little circle, and it'll come up us. There you go. So, until that time, we'll see you later.
Bye, Daniel. Bye, Leah.